Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Tonight we will be talking about twin flames. You may call in with your questions at 917-932-8881. You may also go to my website, LoriCoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, LoriCoburn. And click the Ask Lori button, and later in the week I will email you an answer. Tonight we're going to continue our discussion on twin flames by reading from the book The One by Kathy Freston. As I've said on other shows, Kathy is one of the few people out there who writes about soulmates and the romantic relationship as a path to God. The reason I talk about this is because I'm also in the process of writing two books on the twin flame relationship, which by definition would be the soulmate of soulmates, the other half of your soul, so to speak. And there are a lot of definitions of twin flames out there, and you have to find the one that works best for you. But basically, Kathy honors the soulmate relationship for the intensity that it has, whereas you'll find that a lot of books on relationships poo-poo the intense romance that comes with soulmate relationships. And I think those people are ones for whom the soulmate path, the twin flame path, is not their path. Because if you have a quest for romance, if you have a quest for that partner, then more than likely one of your paths back to God is through the romantic relationship. And so people who write about it and say, oh, that is just love addiction or codependence, while there may be elements of that in there, that is not what this is all about. This goes way beyond the normal average relationship. As far as guessing what a percentage of people out there who have this as their path would be, I really have no clue. That would be an interesting thing for a survey. But suffice it to say, if looking for the right partner is something that's really, really important to you, I mean, it is important to just about everybody. But for some people, it's more important. And for them, it's just like it doesn't take a secondary role. A lot of people will work and go, you know, I need a partner. I need the right one. And then when they get that partner, they just put the relationship secondary or on the back burner. But for the person for whom the soulmate relationship is one of their primary paths, the relationship itself becomes paramount. And I can use an example from my own current relationship. My primary path is definitely the twin flame. The partner I am with now is one of my soulmates. He's a dear, dear beloved of mine. But for him, the relationship is more secondary, whereas for me, it's primary. And that is one of the reasons we have always wondered whether or not we will be together long term. We place our relationship in the hands of God and say, God, you brought us together. You show us when and where we're supposed to be together in service to humanity. And so we may or may not be together long term. We suspect we will not be. However, for him, his primary path has been as a warrior. He is the type of person who defends and protects others. And another one of his paths has been to build up others. He has been involved in building two different churches. He builds people. He has built me. He built his first wife. And now I suspect that he's going to go into a third world country and help build a community. So for me, the relationship is primary, but for him, other relationships are primary, not the love relationship, even though we together have a very good relationship and we've helped each other grow tremendously. So again, if one of your paths is the soulmate twin flame relationship, don't guilt yourself. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said it sure seems to him like that is it for him. And he's always felt a little bit funny about that, like somehow he's weak. Or there's a modern thing out there now that you shouldn't want to have a relationship. You should be whole within yourself. And granted, we are completely whole within ourselves. And that is one of the things that will happen when you get into a soulmate relationship, is it will bring up everything in you that is not whole in order to be healed. And your partner becomes the mirror for that. But it's through the relationship showing you all of your dark areas that you get to do it. So you need this other person. Nowadays, it's unfashionable to say, I need your love. In the olden days, they used to say it all the time. I need your love. I need your love. But right now, you've got the books out there like Byron Katie. I need your love. Is that true? And she's right when no, you don't. You don't need anyone else. But on the other hand, do we need our brother? As A Course in Miracles will call it, it says you need your brother to get back home. Do you need that person to give you everything you expect? No. Do you need that person to give you the romance you expect? No. Do you need that person to complete you and make you whole? No. But do you need that person so that in looking at that person and seeing only the true self in that person, forgiving all of your projections and all your illusions that you dump on that person so that you can't see them in yourself, do you need that person to be a way shower for you, to be a mirror, to be a partner on your path back to God? Yes, you do. We all need other people. And A Course in Miracles says we do not get home alone. We get home two by two by holding our brother's hand. In the soulmate case, by holding our soulmate's hand, by honoring that relationship and forgiving all of the things in it that drive you crazy, and realizing that even as you're forgiving what you think your partner's doing, it's all your dream. Everything that that partner is doing is for your benefit. A Course in Miracles says, you do not realize you are making them act out for you. And that was a huge revelation for me when, with my twin flame, who again is not the person I am currently with, I currently do not have physical contact with my twin flame, but of course, minds are connected always. Souls are connected always. So I have connection on that level, but not here on the physical plane at the moment. But when I realized that everything that he had done, which I, in my ignorance, back before I knew what true forgiveness was, I blamed him, judged him, hated him, wanted him out of my life. When I finally realized that everything that he was doing was to help me become enlightened, all I could do was love him. I had to forgive it. It was my own projection. It was my own dream. And now I have total love for this man. It's an amazing process when you consciously choose to forgive your partner for what you think they're doing to you. It's just amazingly beautiful, because as A Course in Miracles says, when you forgive your brother, and in this case, when you forgive your soulmate, what happens is that heaven rises right up before you here on earth. You start seeing life in a totally different way. You start seeing only love. There's a line in the Course that says, when love is all you want, love will be all you see. So what happens is, as you consciously choose to only love your partner, even through all those things that drive you crazy or push your buttons or send you into abandonment issues or send you saying, I'm breaking up with you, I'm done with this relationship. When you push past those and you don't throw the relationship out and you love, 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 then you start to love everyone and everything, and you are in heaven on earth. So the soulmate doesn't bring you heaven on earth by being the perfect person. The soulmate brings you heaven on earth by challenging you to do all your own work. So I'm going to take a sip of water here and then read from the book. Okay, I'm starting on page 17 on The One by Kathy Freston, F-R-E-S-T-O-N. It's a book I'd highly recommend. Whatever the attraction is between you and your twin flame or soulmate, sexual chemistry, deep friendship, financial stability, or shared lifestyle goals, it has to be alluring to the extent that two people will stay and deal with whatever comes up, because things will come up. Through knowing the soulmate, life's most profound work begins to unfold. And that's been my experience. I've had a number of soulmates show up in my life. In fact, I think all of my important relationships with men have been soulmates, with the exception of my first boyfriend. But my husbands and my partners, two husbands, two major life partners, it's been this intense attraction where we were willing to go through the fights and push through them. And no matter how much we fought, we kept coming back together. It's just something that keeps pulling you back. And you want to look, when you're fighting with your partner, you want to look at what is calling you, what is beckoning you. Those good times between the fights where you feel at home, where you feel so peaceful, when you feel so loved, those are really the reflection of God through your partner. And what our task is to seek within ourselves to find that place of God that's always available to us. And it doesn't come through our partner. It comes through our turning within to our own higher self, to our own love. Reading some more on page 18. We need not go looking for that right person to fit the bill, for spirit is always drawing us into the perfect match. Through the soulful relationship, we will become intimate with the one standing in front of us, the one in the mirror, and most importantly, the oneness of spirit that connects us all with each other. We don't need to go looking. Love finds us. We don't find it. All of these things that say attract your soulmate, do all this, actually, those, I've read some of those, and those can be pretty good, because when they say to attract your soulmate, first work on yourself, get yourself in shape, line yourself up with love, get rid of all your baggage. Ask only for God's will for your life. Ask only to be aligned with love. Those things will help attract your soulmate. But you don't have to do anything. If you are frantically looking on all these dating services, looking all over, let it go. When you line yourself up with spirit, what you know is that it's actually all already done. On the spiritual level, there is no time. Here in Earth, on earthly level, we appear to be going through linear time, past, present, and future. It looks like there are still things to come to us in the future. In heaven, however, which is just an energy shift dimension, it's, heaven is right here in a different vibrational world. It's like a parallel world. Heaven is right here, right now. Jesus even said that in the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Heaven is right here, right now. There is no time in heaven because it is eternal. So when you get the wherewithal to step out of space and time and kind of look at the world from above or beyond or whatever term you want to use, what you realize is that your soulmate is with you right here, right now. So even if you are not in a relationship with your twin flame or soulmate right here, or it appears that way, what you want to do is to visualize and imagine yourself with them right here, right now. Or say if you're having conflict, say you are physically with them and there's just lots of conflict. You want to affirm that you are healed and whole and the relationship is perfect right here and right now. Because what happens is, the way A Course in Miracles explains it is this. When you choose love instead of staying in fear and separation, when you choose love, the appearance of time and space collapses. So what might normally take years to accomplish can happen in a week or a day or a year. Time and space literally collapses because all you're doing is shifting into a different energy vibration where everything is perfect, where heaven is present right here, right now. So you don't want to look into the future for your soulmate to show up. You want to align yourself with the vibration that says, I am with my perfect soulmate right here, right now. It's a subtle difference and yet a very important difference. And I've been reading about this for years, and actually it just sunk in for me in the last couple months to where it's a regular habit. But I even fall out of it now. But it's much more consistent. And ever since I put myself in that vibration of truth and decided to stop looking at appearances in what appears to be linear space-time, I'm so happy. It's unbelievable. I am just so happy, and I feel connected to everybody and to my twin flame. The fact that we are physically not with each other is not even important. It's just because it's not true. It's just not true, because the bodies are not the major thing anyway. Spirit is. Kathy writes, not all soulmate connections are obvious at first glance. Yes, some soulmates will find each other wildly captivating and sexy, some of them. But there are also people who just have an intellectual or emotional rapport that binds us together in a way that is different from, but perhaps just as formidable as plain old lust. So I look at that, if you look at Bill and Hillary Clinton, those two are obviously soulmates and probably twin flames. They are so bonded and they are so connected. But it surely doesn't seem like it's romance between them. It more seems like on the political level, the intellectual and political level, they had this world mission to accomplish, and they are really excellent partners, and they've accomplished it. They've done major things in the world. But is it romantic? Does it seem romantic? Not really, when he's kind of looks like he's gone out on her a whole bunch. And that's been hurtful, but they're still really bonded in spite of all that. If you have seen any interviews with Hillary, once I saw Barbara Walters' interview, and she said, why do you stay with him? And Hillary said, because no one makes me laugh more. No one stimulates me more. And I can just see such a bond between the two of them. And then there are other people who have a more romantic bond. John Lennon and Yoko Ono, they had the romantic bond as well as the world mission bond to bring that music out into the foreground, to bring the spirituality out. And they were completely bonded. And there was this one record that they made, or maybe John Lennon made, I'm not sure if they both sang on it, but they were like John Lennon was naked with his arms, you couldn't see anything, but he was naked with his legs and arms wrapped around Yoko Ono, and it just seemed to me like they had such a connection. And that song that he wrote about her called Woman, when you listen to that song, you can just see his dedication and his gratitude for this woman in his life who absolutely, totally helped him heal and helped him be all that he could be. Kathy continues to write, "What qualifies a relationship as soulful is how much our heart is opened by being with someone. All relationships serve as a portal to divinity, but romantic love is so ideal because it gets our attention in such an enthralling way. It winds us up, stimulates us, and delivers us primed for all sorts of revelations." And I would qualify this, when she says what qualifies a relationship as soulful is how much our heart is opened by another. Like she said in the previous paragraph, it might be how much your intellect is opened. I think what Marie Curie, the scientist who discovered radiation or whatever. Anyway, there are scientists who have been partners and they've made major world discoveries. Or musicians, or people that may not have a lot of romance, and it may not even be the heart so much as it is their life purpose and their life mission to be together as partners. But certainly in the twin flame romantic path, the heart gets opened like with no one else. It's an unbelievable thing, and I know for me what happened, I had never felt anything like that in my entire life. And when we ended up breaking up, because we just couldn't handle it, neither of us were emotionally mature in order to handle that much love, and we crashed and burned. But I shut down, and I don't think I opened up until this year, and that was 20 years ago. My heart was in so much pain. And it wasn't completely shut down. I've had other relationships since, and it's not like 100% shut down. He also shut down. The contact I have had with him over the years tells me he shut down big time and never opened back up. And even when we tried to meet again, he was really shut down. He just said, "I can't do it. I can't do it. I can keep other women at an arm's length distance, but I can't do that with you. And I can't deal with all my issues, so I can't be with you," because it's painful. It is. If your heart opens up that much, it will be so ripped apart by any unfinished issues you have that's why you need that commitment and dedication and that intense magnetic attraction between each other in order to keep you coming back. And in my case, even though physically we couldn't keep coming back, although we did, we stayed in contact for years and years. The psychic connection for me, and I'm pretty sure for him too, it keeps knocking on the door. It's not going to go away. You are completely bonded in your soul. There is no getting away from it. So you might as well do the work. Not easy. Okay. Kathy Freston gives an example of a soulmate relationship, a couple that she worked with. And she says this woman named Diane, she had this friend named Mitch for many years, and they were just friends. And she never even looked twice at him. And then she actually went to Rome to get over a bad relationship. And he was a world traveler, so he met her in Rome. And he was just a friend. And she writes, "As she approached his hotel, Diane saw Mitch standing outside in high-top Converse sneakers with his boyish grin, and suddenly his goofiness became the most charming thing she'd ever seen. Our eyes met," she said, "and it all felt so different." That is something that will happen because of the timing, or because you just weren't ready before to see it. You weren't supposed to see it before. The man I'm with now, who is a soulmate of mine, he and I were friends for 12 years. I never looked twice at him. And then all of a sudden, I started getting attracted to him, and it was very weird because he was not even my type at all, just like this story here. So one day, my eyes were just opened, and actually, I live my life listening to the Holy Spirit. I get quiet, and I say, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? That's a prayer from A Course in Miracles, and I've been using it for about 10 years now, and it never fails you. If you do what that voice, that quiet voice, tells you to do, you will be fine. Even before I got into A Course in Miracles, though, I actually had this voice tell me, you're supposed to be in a relationship with Rod. That's my current partner. It was mind-blowing for me, because the voice was very clear, and I actually argued with the voice. I had started becoming attracted to him, but I just thought the attraction was something very strange that would go away. It was, I felt like it was like how you get drunk, and you have a one-night stand, and you're attracted because you're drunk. So I thought, oh, well, it's just a passing thing. I don't even know why it's there, but it'll go away. And this voice said clearly, you are supposed to be in a relationship with Rod. And I argued with it and said, Rod, you've got to be kidding me. Rod? He's just my friend. He's way too old. He's way older than me. He's not my type. This does not make sense. But the voice persisted. And I listened. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life, because Rod and I have grown spiritually more than I could ever possibly imagine. It has been an absolutely beautiful relationship, and I am so grateful. So one of the ways people can tell the difference between codependence and love addiction versus a soulmate in a relationship you're meant to be in is that codependence will feel desperate. You will feel like you call them up, and instead of like counting to 10 and you don't call them, or you know darn well you're not supposed to walk in that bar and take a drink, or you know darn well you're supposed to let this relationship go. A soulmate or twin flame relationship that is right will feel centered and peaceful. Even in the midst of all the fights, there is something that feels right about it. And one of the strange things that I had with my twin flame is that even though on the surface it looks like he betrayed the hell out of me, I mean really big time bad stuff, which is why I'm writing the memoir, because it's all about forgiveness, which I know in truth he never did anything to me. On this level it looks like he did. Even so, at this depth level, at the soul level, there is this trust with this person that defies logic, absolutely defies logic, because I know this person loves me. I know that we are connected in our souls, but to look at it on the surface, it looks like the craziest, abusive, terrible thing that could be. So one of the ways you distinguish just a passing relationship that just is a bad relationship, you're not supposed to be in it, it's not a soulmate, or it's just a karmic soulmate that you're supposed to end the relationship, is you can feel that. People know. I used to work with substance abusers all the time in my psychotherapy practice. They don't need to be told that they're alcoholic. They know it. Now, they may lie to themselves and say, no, I'm not, I'm a social drinker, blah, blah, blah. They know. Deep down, they always know. Even though you say on the surface, no, I'm not, I can control my drinking, blah, 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 you know. So when you get quiet, it's that quiet sense of knowing that distinguishes the real relationship, the real soulmate, the real twin flame from the codependence. The thing with my relationships was, I'm done with my two husbands. The relationships are finished. They're over. This thing with the twin flame, it's not over. It's just simply not over, notwithstanding no physical contact. You can feel the difference. So one of the things that you want to develop when you're in an intense relationship is the ability to get quiet, to breathe, and to ask for guidance. Just ask for guidance. And it will feel peaceful. It won't feel crazy, chaotic. The only time it's crazy and chaotic is when you doubt yourself. If you want to call in with questions, if you've just joined us, it's 917-932-8881. You can come into Blog Talk Radio with the Poetic Energy Network and get into the chat room if you'd like to ask questions that way. Or you can go to my website, LoriCoburn.com. That's Lori, two R's, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com, and click the Ask Lori button, and I will email you back. Okay, so what Kathy Freston says about Mitch and Diane is, was it all just the timing? Or Diane is saying, it felt to me like some sort of dramatic unveiling. Like, Mitch was revealed to me when I was ready. And Kathy writes, soulmates are funny like that. They surprise us, catch us when we're not looking, so they can slip past the guards of our preconceptions. It's as if the soul, that part of us that is infinite and eternal, is always working to find the best way to draw us into situations that will wake us up to our potential. It's not uncommon for soulmates to show up when we stop searching for them and get on with our own lives. We hear those stories all the time. Some soulmates can drag us kicking and screaming into our dark corners to finally face the so-called demons that hold us back from experiencing true love. They often bring things up for us which are unpleasant, sometimes pulling us right into the painful spaces we most want to avoid but need to address in order to become more fully integrated and enlightened. Kathy writes, I once dated a man who nearly destroyed me. He was both physically and emotionally abusive, but no matter how bad things got, I could not seem to leave. Being with him triggered my hidden rage, my feelings of worthlessness, and my most manipulative, controlling behavior. I had always projected the image of being laid back and confident, but that man held my nose up to far less appealing aspects of myself until finally I had no choice but to do some deep inner work. Mine was a lot like Kathy's, my twin flame. There wasn't much physical abuse, maybe a tiny little bit, but none is acceptable. But we were emotionally abusive to each other, but he was a rageaholic. But he showed me the mirror of my own rage, because I was a rageaholic too. But it was much easier to point the finger at him. So until I stopped pointing the finger at his rage and his inability to get close and open his heart, I couldn't look at my own. I didn't realize how much I was afraid of love. And one time, after we had been broken up for many years, I kind of got a glimpse of how I had shut love out too, and I just kind of blamed him. It was so easy to say, oh, you can't receive love. But I thought I could. And I got this glimpse, and I said to him, did you ever feel like you tried to love me and I wouldn't let you? And he said, yeah. And it's like, wow, I never knew that was in me. And even though I said that to him 10 years ago, it's only now that I feel like I'm really starting to open up to God's love or to my own love for myself. And again, not that I haven't opened up to receiving more and more love through the ensuing 10 years, but I'm just really starting to break open now. Because what the soulmate relationship brings to us is the opportunity for total love. For heaven here on earth, God's love is so much more expansive than we can even imagine. And we are so meant to have total love that when this twin flame mirrors that and we can't receive it, we actually go running and screaming in the opposite direction. A friend of mine was describing it to me today. She said, what we do is we equate love with sacrifice. And since we do that, and since the love of God is so total, that's the love we really are running from. Because we think to merge into that, we will be completely annihilated. And if you look at the Bible and the story of sacrifice with God supposedly sacrificing his beloved son to save us from our sins, talk about a story of sacrifice. My goodness, that's major sacrifice. But sacrifice is an idea of the ego. It is not true. It's part of the illusion. We are not meant to suffer and sacrifice. But we're the only ones who can choose the love of God. And we have to consciously choose it. There's a line in A Course in Miracles that says, the choice for heaven is made consciously. That's in lesson 138. Heaven is the decision I must make. It says, actually, we're already home in heaven, but we just don't know it. Because we have consciously chosen to identify with the ego and identify with fear and separation. Since we appear to have done that, then it's only us that can choose the opposite, which is choosing love. And that is the opportunity that our soulmate right in front of us gives us the chance to do over and over and over. When we fall into fear with our soulmate, when they push our buttons and we get terrified that they're going to leave us or that they don't love us or they're doing something that we panic, like, oh my God, I'm going to lose this relationship. Right then and there is the perfect opportunity to go within and to recognize and to pray for help and say, show me total love. Show me that there is no separation. Show me that there's only truth and love and light. And when you keep doing that, instead of blaming and attacking and wanting to change your partner, when you keep asking the Holy Spirit, what do I need to see and know to receive all love? That is when you're healed. That's what does it. So you keep going within and you keep choosing heaven within. So as Kathy Freston is saying, being with her soulmate triggered hidden rage and feelings of worthlessness. This is where my twin flame really, really helped me. I used to go around with this confidence also. I just thought that I was a very self-confident, successful professional. And something that he did triggered all of my hidden worthlessness that was hidden behind obsessive compulsive drive for success and drive to be perfect and drive to be a perfect psychotherapist. And something that he did triggered all of that buried low self-worth that because it was buried, because it was subconscious, I didn't even know it was there. But what happens is our defense mechanisms, such as being perfect, being perfectionistic, obsessive compulsive, or trying to please other people at our expense, or moving into rage and anger, or defenses like superiority, or defenses such as using substances, or being a workaholic, or whatever type of defense mechanism you use to push away your feelings of low self-worth. I did that with my perfectionism and obsessive compulsiveness and my superiority. Like, I just thought I was superior to my twin flame. I know more than you. I can accept love better than you. I can do relationships better than you. And it was a big lie. It was such a lie. So when he finally pulled this big one on me, where I was thrown to the ground and stripped totally of my ego identity of perfectionism, it was like, whoa. I did not even know that that stuff was there. And A Course in Miracles says that in order for us to become awake and to receive all of the love of God that we are, we have to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And while we have any defense mechanisms going on, any darkness that we still believe in, because it's not true, the darkness, the low self-worth, the ego, the fights, the separation, the abandonment, that's all the illusion. But we still believe in it. And as long as we're running those programs and we don't even see them because they're subconscious, we cannot become the love that we are. And we can't become the higher self that we can't be. We can't act from that place of love and higher self that we truly are. So my twin flame, in what appeared to be the worst thing he could possibly do to me, was actually the best thing he could possibly do for me. It appeared wicked. It appeared evil. And yet it was the very thing that led me to my spiritual awakening and led me to a greater breaking open of the love than I ever dreamed possible. And it's still happening. The expansion of the love just keeps on, because that's what love does. It expands and expands and expands. And so it's been absolutely beautiful. But I only got there when I forgave him for what he appeared to do to me. And I took 100% responsibility for actually on a subconscious soul level wanting him to attack me in that way. On the surface level, I would say, are you kidding me? I would never want him to do that. It involves some legal stuff. Never, ever want him to do that to me. But on the soul level, I had to say, this is my dream. I'm dreaming that I'm Lori. I'm dreaming that he's him. And I'm dreaming that this is all happening. That's the illusion. That's the dream. And I can choose to wake up from the dream by choosing love. And that's what I did. And it was phenomenal. We can only do that for ourselves. Each person out there has to do that and make that choice for himself. No, we can't do it for anyone else. All I can do for you is tell you that that's what awaits you on the other side, that this vision of heaven, that this vision of pure, truly unconditional love, not just limited to one person, your soulmate or your twin flame, but expanding to the entire world, is the gift that awaits you through the process of forgiving your soulmate. Okay, Kathy Freston writes, there are times we must make a decision to leave a relationship. Yes, but usually that works best after we learn the lesson intended from the particular situation. Remember, if spirit is omniscient and omnipresent, that means the ugly stuff has its place too. Often it is the very stuff that brings us to critical breakthroughs necessary for growth and eventual happiness. So in my case, legal problems with the person I could not believe would go to court against me ever. It was so devastating. That was exactly what made the breakthrough for me. And so this, when it says we may need to leave the relationship, but it's best after we learn the lesson intended from it, there's a line in A Course in Miracles that says the ego would tell you to throw the relationship out. But don't believe that. Don't throw the relationship out until you have made the conscious choice to forgive it and the Holy Spirit tells you to leave the relationship. Now, again, if severe abuse, physical abuse is going on and you're in danger, leave. But if it's emotional, you've got to work that stuff through, because you're just going to pick another partner that mirrors that same stuff for you. So with my twin flame, we fought like cats and dogs, and I was a rageaholic too. Well, I carried that rage into my current relationship, and my current partner and I fought like cats and dogs for 6 years. In the past 6 years, now we've been together 12, have been great. They have been heaven on earth. But I had to get past my own rage that I thought just my twin flame had. So this is what you've got. When you ask over and over, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see about me, that's a good prayer to have. Our time is up for tonight. Again, if you'd like to go to my website and ask any questions, it's loricoburn.com. Lori with two R's, LORRICOBURN.com. And we will be here again next Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And pretty soon it will be Eastern Standard Time. And I appreciate you listening. good luck and pray for answers. Thank you.
Okay.